Now for the fun stuff. I don't actually have a sermon written for today. Now, those of you that didn't get the email or weren't here last week are thinking, well, that's your job. What's up? So, every once in a while, and I really enjoy holiday weekends for this, I do something called a brown bag sermon. I am a firm believer that there is meaning in everything, and that we can see the divine everywhere in our lives. I talk about that all the time, and this is sort of a little bit of a rubber meets the road, okay, you say it, let's prove it kind of moment. And so, last week we drew names out of this bag, and Glenn Brackett's name got drawn. Glenn waved to the people. There we go. And Glenn was in charge of picking anything he wanted and bringing it in a brown paper bag. Jessica, is that the bag of your dad? Thank you very much. So, there's something in this bag that our sermon is going to be based on this morning. And while you sing our opening hymns, I'm going to put the sermon together. It's like Whose Line Is It Anyway meets seminary. Very fun. There's a lot about this that I really enjoy, that's sort of fun. It's like a party trick at times. But it really, for me, is a meaningful exercise. My favorite story about this is one time I had someone in charge of picking the item, and they brought it in and said, okay, here's the deal. I spent all week deciding between two options. Option one, pick something so specific you had to preach about something I wanted you to preach about, or pick something with no meaning at all so you had nothing to do. And he said, I chose the latter. And I said, really? He goes, yes. And I spent all week looking for something with no meaning, and I couldn't find anything. This is why we do this, right? I mean, if you really start to think about it, everything in its own way carries meaning for us. So I'd like us to take a moment, we'll pray, then we're going to open it up, and then I'm going to start working on the sermon while Alan and the team lead you through worship for the next little bit here. So let's pray for a moment. God, you are a God of surprises, and you are with us in every moment, just as you are in everything. Be with us this morning as we pray your Spirit would move us together, that it might help us see things in a new way, be reminded of your presence, and have a few good laughs along the way. Be with us as the word is shared this morning, that it might be yours, not Glenn's, not mine, but yours. Amen. Okay, so this morning's sermon is going to be, oh, it's open, is going to be on Q-tips. So, we're going to do that. I'll start working. I'd invite the acolytes to bring the light in, reminding us of God's presence with us here this morning. Okay, a couple things. For those of you that have often wondered, I do know how to use paper. And Glenn, I'm very appreciative that you were willing to take on the challenge. I texted him last night. It was sort of the, hey, you remembered, right, text. It's like, hey, you got something figured out for tomorrow? He's like, not yet, but I will. And I was like, okay, yep. And apparently, last night as he was getting ready for bed, or this morning as he was getting ready for his day, I assume your ears are very clean at the moment, Glenn decided to bring us Q-tips. Q-tips. I'm entitling this sermon, Do Not Insert Into Ear. Because seriously, it says that on the box. I'm very confused by that because that's always what I used them for. Apparently, oh, there's all sorts of pictures. You can use them to clean your eyebrow? Oh, no, that's first aid. Okay, gently wiping a small cut. Okay, if you've got a cut this size, you're okay. Oh, you can use it to clean your keyboard? Oh, you can use it to wipe your baby's nose. I'm not going to put this one back in the box. And grout. Okay, if you've got a cut you can clean with this, you're okay. If you're trying to clean your grout with this, you've got a big job ahead of you. But then, after all these uses, do not insert into ear. You know, sometimes what seems very obvious isn't what was intended. And just because we might do something, and, well, just because we think everyone might do something, doesn't mean it's really what's supposed to happen. Now, these are two very generalized statements that I think can apply to a lot of things in life. Just because it seems obvious doesn't mean it was intended. And just because we or everyone else might be doing it doesn't mean that's what's supposed to happen. It gets me thinking about free will. Free will is amazing. Free will is the concept that God gives us the ability to choose things. That we aren't just pre-programmed automatrons who are just moving through motions that were already determined. We get to do what we want. My son turns 2 in a matter of weeks, and let me tell you, he does whatever he wants. And the interesting thing is, God's got to feel the same way. Can you imagine looking at a world full of people all running around saying, I'll do it myself. I'm going to do it this way. No, no. I'm not talking about the two-year-olds, people. I'm talking about us. Free will is an amazing and powerful thing that God gives us so our choices have meaning. So that when we choose the good stuff, it matters. It matters. When we choose to go feed people, it's not because we have to. It's because we want to be there. Because we believe that's important. When we choose to gather together and celebrate all that God is doing in the world, it's because we want to. Or because we have a spouse that wants to. And we find ourselves here and we're together and it means something. But free will has that other side of it. As we hear prayers raised for folks in California, or Nigeria, or Florida, or, I mean, we could make a pretty big list. Just because it's what's happening doesn't mean it's what was intended. And so God speaks to us. God has spent a lot of time speaking to us. Some of you have seen me do this before, but let's just check in on our scripture, shall we? God speaks to humanity, they don't listen. God speaks to humanity, they don't listen. God speaks to humanity, they don't listen. God speaks, yes, more of the same, more of the same. What? Jesus is speaking on God's behalf. The people don't listen. Wow. God speaks to us, but we have to ask ourselves, are we listening? It's fun. I keep a concordance around. This is a gift I asked for my birthday. Back before the internet did what it does, this is how you found a Bible verse. This is an exhaustive concordance. When I asked my sister for one for my 16th birthday, she thought I was nuts. I was. But it's every single word that appears in the Bible and where to find it. And if you open this to words like ear, oh, there's a lot there. I know because I just looked through them. You look to words like listen, oh my gosh, tons. But then there's other words like open. Because a lot of times it's open your ears. A lot of references this way. A lot. We hear our prophets say over and over in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, open your ears. We have hear Jesus say, all who have ears, listen. Or we hear God speak directly, hear me. Do you know hear and heard appear over 1,000 times in our scriptures? For 1,000 times. So what is it to listen to God? What is it to open our ears and receive guidance on how we can use the free will? Because if we got this powerful choice to make in our lives, which every single one of them are, there are no little decisions. How do we hear what God is saying to us? We actually just spent a month in a class on prayer, and we tried some different methods and some different styles, and it was a neat group to sit and talk with. It was also a neat group to sit and listen with. Being in conversation about prayer reminded me of an interview that Mother Teresa gave. Some hot young reporter sits down with Mother Teresa, there she is, and like any reporter, every reporter trying to find a new angle. What hasn't someone asked her so that I can write this neat expose? And so he opens with the question, Mother Teresa, when you pray, what do you say to God? That would make for an interesting article. And she smiles at him and she says, oh, when I pray, I'm not saying anything. I'm just listening. So he reworks his question with a follow-up. But if I could ask a follow-up then, Mother Teresa, when you pray, what does God say? Now that would, I mean, I try to let, this lady's got to have it figured out, right? What does God say to Mother Teresa? Very interesting article to write. And she looks at the little interviewer guy and she says, well, when I pray, God doesn't say anything. God just listens. This reporter had no follow-up after that. What's going on? What is it to just listen? Where's the answer? What am I supposed to do? Sometimes the mere act of listening can change us more than anything we actually hear. It's the intention. It's the space. Anyone else think I fell asleep during the prayer time today with how long the silence was? It's amazing what it is to just create space and where we go. To think about how long it actually takes for us to get rid of all the noise. Paul, you've done a lot of audio work. There's in the audio where they talk about noise and they talk about signal. Signal's what's actually supposed to be coming through, and noise is all the rest of it. How are we supposed to listen to God when there's so much noise? We create space. This is one of those pieces. I have a friend who's a youth director, and he always used to remind the youth, God gave you one mouth and two ears. I suggest you listen twice as much as you talk. We don't always do that. I think about God's words in Deuteronomy. One of the most powerful pieces. Folks in the Jewish tradition know this scripture well because it's written on their doorposts. It's bound to their heads in worship. Hear these words from Deuteronomy in the 6th chapter. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you're at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Hear. God opens with a simple invitation. Hear. And then we're invited to keep the words, to hold on to them, to make sure they're around, to just be with them. But it's an interesting piece, and I've looked into this before. I feel the translation is accurate. And I don't mean to pick on God, but maybe a different word would have been more appropriate. There's a big difference between hearing and listening. There's a very big difference. We can hear so much and listen to so little. I had a wonderful mentor who always used to invite us, if you want to get more out of life, you need to look at what you see. You need to feel what you touch. And you need to listen to what you hear. Maybe we do have a lot to clean out. All that noise, all that stuff in the way, the stuff we're hearing but not listening to. God is speaking, not always in words. But without the space, how will we know? So don't insert into ear. But do take a moment and listen this week. Amen.